five different reasons from five different people in the neighborhood that you live in. So multiply that across the district, and that probably represents all of the different reasons that the referendum didn't pass. But we still have overcrowding. We still need to figure out where we move students so that the seats that we have available and the children that we have come together in a logical way. And I think that regardless of how you feel about where we ultimately end up, it will be difficult because somebody's going to have to change. And I would really comment on it, what Arlene had to say is that the members of the task force are doing this with a lot of effort, a lot of hard work, and giving it their all. It is a very complicated situation to go through. And so we're at this point. The Board of Education decided last summer that they would appoint task forces, one for the East Attendance Area and one for the West Memorial Attendance Area, to address the overcrowding in the West Memorial and the under-enrollment in some of the schools in the East Attendance Area. And it's really a means to get input from the community, and this is just a perfect example of your task force members asking for what they know, what I know, to come to you to get your input as we create these ideas. And the ideas are just the first level. Then we'll create options from the ideas. We're going to be holding public forums the last week of November. And I don't remember what night the Cherokee one was.
December 1st.
December 1st is the Cherokee night. And that's where hopefully we will have five options for you actually to give very specific feedback on. And that means we have a lot of work to do in the next 2 weeks. And there. So what's happened so far is that the first meeting, we really oriented people to the Board of Ed decisions that have been made in the past. And those are around the process for dealing with overcrowded schools. If you are a Leopold parent, you know that a few years ago when you were overcrowded, that the third grade was outposted to Hegel. Am I right? Yes, Hegel. I get mixed up. The Throw at one point also has some outposting. So that's one way you can deal with overcrowding for a short period of time. We put an addition on your school. That was another way of dealing with overcrowding. So there's a set process, and I'm going to show you where all of these documents are on the website. Then there's a process for dealing with schools where they're having declining enrollments, and that, too, is outlined and very specific. We don't have that situation occurring in the West Memorial Attendance Area, so it's not something that we're addressing with this task force. Then there are a set of definitions. One of the things that gets very confusing is that you hear about your maximum physical plant capacity. And then you hear about what your enrollment is. Then you hear later in the year about that for open enrollment purposes, there are only six spaces left. And you're thinking, how can I have six spaces left when I know we're over capacity? So that this document shows what each of those definitions mean. The most important one, there are two that are very important for the work that we're doing. The first one being the third Friday in September is the official enrollment count for a school in the state of Wisconsin, for a public school. That number is how all the financial aid is determined, what the revenue cap can be, what your spending limits are for the year, is determined on the third Friday in September. So that becomes a very important date for school districts. Then the other thing that's an important number for our purposes is the maximum physical plant capacity. And that gets very complicated and confusing. The last time we did boundary changes, one of the things that became a bit of a disagreement was how you counted spaces in a building. So what we did was determine a formula by which we look at every one of the 31 elementary schools. We count literally how many spaces are over 500 square feet that are ventilated and meet the codes. That would be a classroom. How many gyms do you have? Do you have a cafeteria? How do you set aside rooms for art, music, FIED, and REACH? How do you, if you have Title I services in your school, how do you determine how much space is needed for the people that work with students with Title I? If you have children with disabilities, the number of special ed teachers that you have. So it's all done by formula. And then from that, we multiply that last number by a capacity figure that's determined by, again, your programming. So if you're a SAGE school, K-3, if you're a SAGE school, K-1, Block 2, 3, or if you're a non-SAGE school, those number, or if you're a K-2 school or a 3-5 school. So there are many iterations of that, but that number then is multiplied times the number of rooms to determine your maximum physical plant capacity. That took us about 2 hours to go through, so you guys are really smart, unlike your next question. Then the enrollment trends, we started looking, using last year and previous, I think the school district started in 1850, we didn't quite go back that far, but we looked at what the enrollment trends have been. We actually had anticipated about 15 years ago that we would be around 21,000 students right now, and we're not, we're at 24,500. We have been very, very flat for several years. We've been as low as 22,000 at one time, and certainly the district years and years and years ago was over 30,000. So we have been flat around 25,000 students for the last 6 years, and we don't anticipate that changing. We talked a little bit about the physical plant capacity, and later on Elle is going to talk about the considerations when redrawing boundaries, which is a very important part of all of the work that we do regarding boundary changes. The second meeting, we had the City of Fitchburg and the City of Madison planners come to the meeting and really talk about where are the new developments. How do you figure in and determine how many elementary students you anticipate, middle school students, and high school students? And it's a very complicated formula that we use, but it's all based on what the planners tell us. We never figure into our enrollment projections what we hear about what's going to happen in the development that might happen across the road if only this would happen. What we really use are platted areas by developers that have been approved by a planning department, either of the City of Fitchburg or the City of Madison in the case of this attendance area. So I think that the presentations that they made were very, very important for us. And one of the things that we'll talk a little bit about later on is that in the southern part of the Leopold attendance area, there's an area called McGaw Park. Well, when the planner presented to us, he made it very clear that has not been platted, and so we can't use that as an area that we think about gathering more elementary students from. However, he did say that once it is platted, we can probably anticipate another 147 elementary students. But is that 5 years, 10 years, 15, or 20 years? You know, it's what we have all decided is we all need crystal balls to have in front of us every time we turn around, because it becomes, although we get better and better every year, it is still very difficult. So the third meeting was after the third Friday in September, and we could use actual data from this school year. We can look at what are the enrollment numbers, how many children come from low-income households, what's our racial makeup, how many children are bused, how many children go from one school to another attendance area. We could really look at what the real numbers look like. The other thing we were able to do is what are the five-year projections? And one of the things that I think people struggle with is that as we do five-year projections, they might say, well, last year you projected our school to be at 384 in 2010. Now you're saying in 2011 it's only going to have 290 kids. What happened there? And we use a very wide array of data sources to determine projections. And we use everything from birth rates, and you should know that in Dade County for the last 3 years the birth rates have been very, very high and continuing to go up. That affects your kindergarten enrollment. And so you look at what the ratio is from birth rate to kindergarten enrollment, and we follow that. We look at what the ratio has been for the last several years of first grade to second grade to third grade to fourth grade by individual school, and we look at that very specifically and try to project, is it going to be 101%? Is it going to be 98%? What is the trend? And then we do all the projections based on all of these figures and calculations that we massage up the data. And then in the end, we cannot predict that in the neighborhood of Manitou Way, all the parents are going to sell their homes and all the young families are going to buy them, and we're going to have all new elementary school kids. We can't predict when you're going to sell your house and sell it to somebody who has an elementary child. So those are the things that make it very difficult to get the projections accurate. We are very, very accurate at a district level. In fact, some years we've been off as little as 4 students. But what becomes very difficult is getting them in the right class in the right school. We, I think, hit 2 schools right on target this year, but that's unusual. So then we did an exercise that really looked at the considerations that, again, I'll present later, and we did some setting of priorities. We had each of the task force members think about how they felt about their children. Did they want their child on a bus more than 45 minutes, or is that something that was very important, that their child was under 45 minutes on a bus? Did they feel it was important for their children to be in an economically balanced school? How did they feel about each of these considerations for themselves and their family? Then we asked them, okay, for your school community, how would you rank these as your consideration? And then thirdly, how do you feel about the other side of town? Do you think those same considerations are important for all 25,000 students in the Madison schools? And that's probably the greatest challenge for all of us, is to constantly think 25,000 students, not just, you know, my children, my neighbor's children, my school, my attendance area. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge, and we've all talked about that a lot. Our fourth meeting, we started developing ideas. Now, what if we did this? What if we did that? And if you have a fourth grader in your house, you probably have a 10-year-old saying, what if we went to the meeting next week? What if is a very school-age kind of question, but that's what we ask ourselves. What if we tried this? What if we tried that? We started generating ideas from which we could then ultimately create options. At our last meeting, we reviewed some of those ideas, and we realized we have a lot of work to do. It is very, very complicated in the West Memorial attendance area. And so we decided that we needed some additional meetings. When the board determined the task forces, they were appointed early September. We had our first meeting in September. Our work is to be preliminarily done the middle of December with final recommendations to the board in January. Now, some people panic over that because there's so much work to do. We have so many things to think about. We need to get feedback. And we are really pushing the task force to continue working and getting feedback right along so that we can meet those deadlines. Because if we stretch those to March, April, or May, there are just so many ways you can cut this. We have to at some point make decisions. The other thing that those of you who are Leopold parents know very, very well is that it takes a while to build a building. From the time that a board would, if another building is decided that we need another building, from the time the board makes a decision to the point of being able to put that on the ballot takes roughly 55 days, because you have to have some idea of what it's going to cost so that your bond council can write the questions. It takes 40 days to get it, once you get it to the city, to it being on the ballot. And you, if you also remember, if you don't do it on an election day, it costs extra money. So that backs up that timeline. So we looked at some of those timelines. And then literally from the point of if we had a yes vote to getting construction documents, bids, and construction occurring, takes, if it's a new design, that whole process takes about 3 years. If it's a design that's already done, we can probably get into a building in 2 years. So what are our struggles? Our biggest struggle is that if we could just move all these dots on this map, we've got all the numbers of people who live on every single dot, we can have the computer can just realign this. We can set the parameters and say have water. The computer will design the attendance areas in a very easy way. Dots are easy. When it's people in relationships, it's very hard. People are attached to their schools. I've been a parent in the Madison schools for 26 years, and I don't have a child this year in the schools. I've all graduated. And it's hard. I mean, I went through a pairing and a change in attendance area, and I know what that's like, especially among neighbors. And I still have, there's one set of parents who still don't talk to us. We didn't. We thought it was fine, but they didn't. But I also, you know, we all come with our little different ways of looking at the world. I grew up on a dairy farm, and so was bus. So busing has a different feeling for me than I'm sure it does for someone who walked to school for their entire career. So everybody comes with very different feelings and viewpoints on things. So we got panicked over, not panicked, that's the wrong word, number of ideas that we had and the time to develop them into options. It's been very hard. What? I told the group today, it's now I'm cutting professionalism, I'm just taking my Kleenex box. Because it's hard. Task force members, and I think if you asked any one of them, see how complex the issues really are. But they then have the challenge of how do they explain all of this to you? If they've been through 12 hours of work on really understanding what the numbers mean, how important it is to embrace all of the children that we have in our schools. And philosophically, I think that central office, and I'll speak for that, and Carol can maybe speak for the board, we really want kids in the district. And one of the things we heard in the referendum is, well, if we just said no and assigned those kids to another school district, why don't we just do that? Well, we embrace kids. One of the reasons Madison schools are so good, and I'll speak purely as a parent, our three kids have done great, and they've gone K-12 through the school system and have been very successful moving on because the education is good. It's because of the kids and the parents that go in our schools, and we don't want to lose any parent. So it's really important to figure out how we make everyone feel welcome. And one of the things that we've said, I think, at every single meeting, so that it's very clear, anybody that resides in the Madison Metropolitan School District that's a homeowner pays taxes. So if you live in Fitchburg, you pay taxes just like if you live in Maple Bluff, Shorewood Hills, Madison. We all pay taxes to Madison schools. I think that the task force members also find that they might have a different opinion than maybe their school community, and how do they reconcile that so that they still are in good instead with their friends and neighbors. And that will be a challenge for all of us. Certainly all of us see issues from different viewpoints, as I illustrated before. And then just this, how do you get all of these ideas and consolidate them into options that are reasonable, that we can take back to you again at the end of November so that you can give us some very specific feedback on them. I think there's concern that we've had to deal with a failed referendum, and we know that the Memorial West areas are just becoming larger. How do we make sure that doesn't happen again? And just for clarification, school district employees cannot advocate for a referendum one way or encourage people to vote against it. We can only give facts. So that puts us in a little bit different position. They can advocate or request a defeat very easily. And then I think we heard from the task force members that they always don't feel like they're experts, and why doesn't somebody else just make these decisions and then they can do the work of putting them out there. That's quite good. But I think the struggle of, well, how do you go about doing this? And then people wanted more meetings, and some people said, listen, I made this commitment to January only, no more meetings, I'm out every night of the week. So those are some of the struggles that we're going through. So we are having more work group and task force meetings. We have another one Thursday night. We have small groups coming in, and we actually work with some software that moves people around, and we try to create new boundaries. Community forums, the end of meeting of the month, and certainly PTO meetings, which we're having tonight. So did I do that fast enough?
Excellent. Good job. Mary's going to be able to address questions in a few minutes, but we thought it would be very helpful if first we presented a little bit more information, because some of the information that we're going to present will probably be the subject of a number of your questions. So Al Parker from Kuro is first going to review for you what Mary was explaining on one of her overheads. The task forces on both the east side and the west side did a whole prioritization effort on what our values are and what we thought was important for the task force and then the school board to consider when they're drawing boundary lines. And Al will briefly review this process and then tell you with the priorities that we came up with as a task force.
That's a long way down for me. Again, my name is Al Parker, and the task force or the school district gave us 7 core considerations to consider when we are redrawing boundary lines. The 7 are: every attempt will be made to keep bus routes no more than 45 minutes. No more than 45 minutes in direction one way, or in duration one way. When redrawing boundary lines, the current attendance area islands and optional areas will be reduced whenever possible, and no new ones will be created. Third, no students will be required to change schools as a result of boundary line changes. I had those here, but I'm reading them out here. As a result of boundary line changes more than once during his or her elementary years. Fourth, deal with grandfathering fourth and fifth grade students. Fourth and fifth grade students will be considered when redrawing boundary lines, and every effort will be made to allow fifth graders to remain in their schools.
When you say grandfathering kids, is that kids like families or just the particular students? So if you have a child in first grade or kindergarten and you have a fourth grader or fifth grader, does one get to stay and not the next, or are you considered family?
Generally, it's the fourth or fifth grader that's allowed to stay. And I think in the last couple times, it's just been the fifth grade students. It's dependent on space as well. And so generally, it's just the fifth grade students. But if your child's been wanting to be the top of the heap, and then all of a sudden they get moved to another school, we really try to accommodate that.
Okay. School sizes in 2 sections per grade level with a maximum of 650 students. 6, every attempt will be made to avoid creating schools with high concentrations of low-income students or families. And every effort will be made to keep geographically and historically defined neighborhoods together and consider the proximity of the school when redrawing boundary lines. We were then asked to... The first one?
School size 650.
Did everyone hear that, Mary? Maybe you want to reiterate.
This was just one of the considerations, is that you don't create a school of maybe 100 kids here and 800 over here. That we try to keep it within a school that has at least 2 sections per grade level, which means roughly 240 kids. It would be a small school. And ideally, you would go over 650. Right, Leopold?
So we were asked to address these considerations using 3 perspectives: those personal to us and our families, those of the families that are in our school. We are supposed to step outside of ourselves and address the ones that are in our school, and then as Madison Metropolitan School District as a whole. We then divided into small groups, and we discussed these options and basically what the pros and cons of each option was and which is most important to the group that we were discussing it with. Then we regrouped and discussed it again. And after that discussion, we participated in a small exercise that would give us some insight of what's most important to us as a task force. We came up with 3 that were most important. The first one was the one that addressed the bus routes. keeping every kid on a bus less than 45 minutes one way. The second one was every attempt would be made to avoid creating schools of high concentration of low-income students. And the third one was to keep historically historical neighborhoods together. And we found that in that discussion and in that process that we went through, that those three were the most important to us as a task force, as an east side or as a west side task force, and also those same three considerations were important to the east side task force. So basically, when we get any working ideas, we will apply those three. Most definitely those three considerations to any working ideas, and it's not limited to those three. We will use all seven if possible. Basically, that's it. If you have any questions about that, please do so.
Can we just hold questions until one more presentation? Because I think it's going to help pull it together, and then we'll address the questions on all the presentations, if that's okay.
Did everybody understand what those considerations were and how we came down? Well, I didn't go into specifics about how we came down to those three because the specifics would just be babble. We got it down to those three, and we're going to go from there and apply those to any working ideas that we have.
I think it's important to know that the task forces did not make up these considerations, that these were considerations that had been developed by the Board of Education.
Right.
And so when we went through the exercise that Al explained, you know, we were prioritizing this based upon our personal thoughts, our thoughts of our schools, and our thoughts of our neighborhood. So we did not sit there as a group and say, how long should a bus ride be, or how big should a school be? The school board had provided us with those considerations. They have been around for a while. Is that correct, Carol?
Yeah, for at least 5 to 7 years when we put those in.
Thanks for clearing.
And then finally, our last presentation, and then we can make comments and kind of pull it all together and address your questions, will be by Rusty Shoemaker Allen of Leopold. And Rusty has the very difficult job tonight of trying to explain to you what some of our working ideas are. Now mind you, there's a number of them on the table, and it's a real balancing act about being too general or getting into the nitty-gritty of, gee, I wonder if this street should move versus this street. So he is going to talk, he's doing a very good balancing act between general and specific. And again, after he's finished, we will have time for more comments and then for specific questions, and there'll also be time for public speaking. But he's going to do a good job at explaining where we are today. Remember, nothing is final at this point in time. Okay?
I've been told I'm loud, so I'm testing if it's true. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. If you were to go to my workspace, there's a picture of, or there's a, there's some artwork and some written work of a third grader who happens to attend Leopold Elementary. And on there is a statement that I want to go to Leaning Tower of Pisa. I think that's pretty cool for a third grader. I think it's really cool considering his father grew up in a town of 150 people and thought, you're really going somewhere, you're going a half hour north to a town of 3,000. That third grader is my son. And I was very proud of that. And that's the kind of things we have children thinking about in Madison Metropolitan School District. So no, those type of things drive our discussions. We're with you. We want to come up with a solution that will give children the best possible educational experience and enhance learning. That's first and foremost for myself and my colleagues. So I want you to understand that. As we've gone through this process, there's been frustrations, sometimes pain. frustration I was having as we prepared for this task force was what to speak to all of you about this evening. Thought it'd be really wonderful if we could roll in here and say, this is what we're going to do, and if everybody nods, that's great. That's not reality. We're nowhere near that point, and that's not going to be our final result either. And that's good. We're a community of diverse people with diverse opinions. Then I decided that the glass would be half full or half empty, you know, with the half full approach, which is we have opportunity to get feedback from you tonight. Your feedback is very important to me. It's very important to my colleagues as far as privacy. And so we still have time to do that. So we're going to present some ideas that are out there. None is truly favorite over any other at this point. We're all going to do it again as a group. We're going to talk a little bit about those ideas. In particular, we're going to try to speak to how they may affect students at Leopold and Thoreau. Some of you are going to be crawling out of your skin to ask a question, make a point. I'm going to do my best to ignore you. So we can work through this portion of the presentation. We will have time for questions in public. So if you can help me with that, that's fabulous. There is a handout in the back. I don't want to read it word for word, but I want to go over some highlights of that. It's about what people want to move to. Everything you've done at this board is an idea. Nothing is preferred over another idea. None of these are options that are being presented above any other. They're ideas. It may be that an idea you see here will be adopted. It may be that it will be tweaked. It may be that it will not be presented as a final option at all. So I'll be very clear on that. Also, the task force makes recommendations to the school board. The school board may adopt those recommendations. They may make alterations or choose their own solution. The final course of action is decided by the school board. So although we're all honored to have opportunity to speak out about this and represent all of you, the final decision will be made by the school board. I came into this with the expectation that the school board would probably highly regard our final recommendations. And I'm assuming that's probably what's going to happen. But it is the school board's policy. The following items will not be part of any final recommendations made to the school board. Year-round schooling is not something we'll be doing. It's a programmatic change. There's not going to be an option for us. And the group asked the question, what schools do we not have land adjacent to or space in which to add on to or build another building if that's needed? And Randall, Crestwood, Franklin, and Thoreau, that is simply not an option. Okay. Number four, the task force held lengthy discussions about the possibility of final proposed recommendations to the Board of Education may include implementing the final proposed solutions and stages. We quickly realize there's not a quick fix. We quickly realize that this may need to occur in stages to come up with the best solution. There are some things we'd like to address tomorrow, such as some of the overcrowding right now, Leopold and some other schools on the west side. That's not going to happen. So we talked about the need as a task force and are moving strongly toward implementing solutions in waves, if you will. Having this occur while we prepare for this, and so on. Also, number five relates, the task force has discussed the need to clear layout second, third, fourth options, etc., especially in the event of a final recommendation to the board includes the referendum. If this group comes to the conclusion that a referendum is our best step, and if the Board of Education adopts that as something we want to take to all of you to make a decision about, we're very clear that we need to have plan B in the event that a referendum does not work, and plan C. Okay? Number six, my imperfectness comes out, I apologize. The task force has discussed the fact that it is likely, highly likely that any final recommendation is likely to include some redrawing of current boundaries. I won't say that's a certainty, but it's very, very likely that we'll be doing some redrawing of boundaries. And on to idea seven, where Mary will be assisting me greatly. Those of you with students in Leopold, some ideas that are being discussed that may affect students at Leopold include the possibility of pairing with Thoreau, leaving Leopold with its traditional boundary, building an addition or a second building at this site, redistricting some Leopold students into the Lapham Marquette tent, redistricting some Leopold students into the mid-building and its areas. And Mary's going to help with pointing that out more. One of the ideas being bannered about, part of it is to move some Leopold students to Lapham Marquette. Option one.
Obviously, this is the purple is the Leopold attendance area. This is the area of the High Bridge Apartments that goes to Chavez. And so one of the options was to move these students along with these students across John Nolan to Lapham Marquette, which are right here.
In addition, that same idea, another portion called the Leopold area that she moved along.
So the split was that this area would go up to the road, and this area would go over to Lapham Marquette. No, I'm sorry. This area was going to go up to the road. Thank you. And this would stay with Leopold right here.
And then also the possibility is being discussed of moving Leopold students, idea 7.
We didn't practice.
You did. Wanted to be home one night. Talk of moving, the possibility of moving the Leopold area south of Thoreau and east of Fishhead Street to maybe a Lincoln.
Yes, 77.
Yes.
So it looks like this area again would be with Thoreau, and this area would be combined with Midvale Lincoln.
Place the Lincoln on the map, please.
Lincoln is right here. Leopold is right here. This is Wright. This is Franklin, Randall, Cherokee, Thoreau. Midvale is right here.
And one other idea being discussed about moving some Leopold students has Leopold students. Has some Leopold students south of Lacey Road and Swan Creek to Midvale Lincoln.
This is south of Lacey. This is Swan Creek, so this was they would move up to Midvale Lincoln. There's Midvale.
And we also in this possibility have the small area of Leopold west of Fishhatchery and near Greenway Crossing moving to
that would be in this area. Just to orient you, this is Fishhatchery. It goes up here. This is the Beltline. These are not boundaries. These are roads.
Moving on to possibilities, ideas being discussed that may affect the Rowe students are the following. Pairing with Leopold, as previously was mentioned. Redistricting of some Thoreau students into the Lincoln Midvale attendance area. Redistricting of some Thoreau students into the Van Lines attendance area. Redrawing of boundaries includes Thoreau absorbing students from Leopold, Chavez, and Lincoln in some locations. And we're going to briefly orient to that. Idea number two. We have the road you have to go in north, and the south.
This is the
road vehicle
there.
Yes.
So the road and Leopold would be paired. A thought might be that Leopold would be a K4 or a K3, and the road would be 4 or 5. Lincoln and Midvale would be drawn together. Van Heist, Van Heist, this parts come down and take some of the Midvale area, and some of this area goes up into Shorewood.
And then another possibility for Thoreau students, number 7. And this we would have a pairing with Leopold again. And a redistricting of some Thoreau students to Lincoln Midvale attendance. Thoreau
boundary south of Berlin, east of Fish Avenue.
This area would be Midvale Lincoln, and all of this area would be combined with the row. The row would stay as the boundary would be the same. It would absorb some of Leopold. It would be up here again.
And then number 10. We would have the Arboretum area of Lincoln through the Thoreau.
That's this area.
We would have that small area again that we showed previously, west of Fish Hatchery, Greenway Crossing, on Leopold, moving to Thoreau.
This area would be
the Thoreau. And then lastly, number 13. Which we have Swan Creek to the road.
Swan Creek, and they would be
so lots and lots of combinations of possibilities. Moving on to number 9. That's a document of ideas that we have, a resilient ideas list that I'm sure for it. It is on the district website. It's not handed out there. Number 9, the idea is being thrown about of reopening Hoyt School. Number 10,
Hoyt would be West High School, Randall West, come on, Regent, there's where it could be right in there. Either Randall, who would go to the school? Randall's not on the top, but if you bump kids up, you might rearrange the school. And on this one, it looks like Van Heys, and Van Heys and Joe here. I don't know the way up. Coliseum area, move to Lapham Marquette. This area would go over to Lapham Marquette. Allied Drive would go to Chavez, Stephen, Crestwood, Old Meadows, Swan Creek, and east of Fish Hatchery would all go to Midvale Lincoln. And Midvale Lincoln. Row vehicle areas remain at the row. That's all of this area and this area. And High Ridge Trail at Chavez Island would go to Thoreau. So this would go also to Thoreau. So this whole area would go to Thoreau. And then all the air
Number 10 on your handout. There are various ideas of sending some students from the west side to Lapham Marquette. Showing you some of those affecting Leopold and whatnot. And number 11, building a new school and recently purchased a box landing site has been discussed as an idea as well.
Where's Hawks Landing? Hawks Landing is this area over here. And there are new developments, several new developments that are coming in that attendance area and up here. And the red is the boundary that's Madison Metropolitan School District.
I want to thank you for your interest, your attendance, your participation. I'm going to turn it over to Arlene to get on the program. Thank you.
Well, one thing I want to mention is we're focusing tonight on how some of these working ideas affect Thoreau and Leopold for obvious reasons. But on some of the working ideas, every single elementary school in the entire West Memorial District is affected. So I don't want to lead you to believe that. You know, we're just looking at things that affect Thoreau and Leopold, but there's the big shift in the big shuffle, and the memorial attendance area is going to experience tremendous growth. So the ideas, the whole area, but again, because of our audience tonight, we want to, you know, tell you what part of the ideas would more affect you, your school, and your kids. So there are bigger pictures, and we're not just necessarily saying, okay, we're going to just, look at these two schools. Now, as we move through, we're going to have three options or three ways for getting more information. We're going to have a brief question and answer period. You can address questions to anyone in the room, Mary, anyone on the task force, or Carol. We're also going to have some time for public speaking, in which if you want to speak, you have 2 minutes to speak, and then it'll also be 1 minute after if you want to follow up your public speaking with a question. And then thirdly, there are index cards in the back of the room. Mary's holding them up, yellow and blue cards. But if you want to write comments that you'd like us to consider or address, please do so. And we do ask if you write comments, if you can put your name in your either email or phone, especially if you want a response or want us to keep you updated on something, that would be really helpful to us. So we'd like to take about 10 minutes or so with just specific questions from the audience and a demonstration by Mary, and then we'll get into public speaking if you want to share your ideas with the group.
Just so that you all know, all of these documents are online. This week's website is madison.k12.wi.us. If you go to long range planning, go over to the memorial and west attendance areas. And if you look at, I talked about the first couple of meetings, if you look at the third meeting, you would see all of the enrollment counts, and everything is listed here so you can read anything you want to know, how we got to the numbers that we have. It tells you everything. All the newsletters are online, and all of them will be translated. Most of them have been translated or are being translated into Spanish.
Okay.
So, Mary, on that point, when you talk about attendance, we can take a look and find out what the current attendance at Leopold is, what the percentage it is over ideal compared with Thoreau, et cetera. That's fine.
It's all on there.
Can I ask if you have a question, if you wouldn't mind standing up, because it makes it easier to hear your question. Any other questions?
Yes.
Kids learn well. But if you look at low-income students, they learn much better if they're in a mixed environment. If
If you have an environment where there's 80% low-income students, they definitely do not learn as well as they would if there's 40% low-income. So what you're trying to do is create a balance so that every student has a chance of learning the best that they can. And that's why the importance, and that's why the task force gave so much weightage to that particular consideration. In case, you know, people didn't quite get why we were doing that.
First, just a quick clarification. All of these permutations, different boundaries, proposed things are on the website, right? So I don't have to memorize them now.
They are not yet. No, these are just ideas because we have not made any. Some are contradictory of one another.
Right.
So,
well, would it be possible though to get these online? Because that way we can just see what kinds of things are being considered.
We're hoping. But Thursday night, we have a lot of work to do. And hopefully by Monday, we'll have some options out there for people to look at.
And in the same vein, is it possible that some of these things might happen on a temporary basis while other things are being worked on? So some of these things might just be for a while, we're going to bust people way the heck over here, and then we'll do something else.
That's possible.
Well, when you put them up there, I remember last year, when they tried doing this last year, they were very detailed. Maps and percentage of low income, I think demographics are going to end up. Will that information be up there this year?
Yes.
That's what, similar to last year?
Yep, and all the old ones are still up there.
What was it?
Could everyone speak up? They're having trouble hearing the back. The question was, last year, when we've gone through this in the past, there were really detailed maps which listed low income, capacity, all kinds of numbers. And Mary said that as we move these into more options, there will be more detail posted.
Correct?
Yes.
This is the way we presented them last year. So you had all the details, and then you had the map that showed you exactly, it was annotated and showed you exactly where it would move. So yes, that's where we hope to be next week.
Jim?
Yes, thanks, Arlene. Given the proximity, investment, and enrollment, I guess I'm surprised I haven't seen a scenario with Wright involved in this at all. Is there any discussion of that, or what's happening with that?
There has been discussion at the task force about using Wright, and as Mary said, we're still working through some of the working ideas, so I don't know where we are looking at that. Or
it's not included in any of our current working ideas, but it has been discussed, and these are subject to change about as needed, perhaps moving some fifth graders and so on.
Well, just given that we're going to, one of the scenarios is to bus them, you know, to market Lapham Marquette, it'd be nice to see one with Wright as well. It's close by. Maybe we should show them
Wright.
Right,
right, right, yeah. It's
very close. Right
up by the
yeah.
Newspaper?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am wondering if there's any consideration about drawing a ring basically around schools to cut down on busing costs. Say all children within the mile that would be walking anyway would be allowed to go to their nearest school, just to cut back on those costs. Another comment is that there are a number of these old established neighborhoods where people bought into the neighborhood to walk to their neighborhood school. Has there been consideration about preserving community in these old established Madison neighborhoods?
Absolutely. That was one of our main core considerations that people seem to focus on the most. Out of those three that I stated earlier, the one with the historically keeping historical neighborhoods together was the one that everyone in the group focused on most in the task force. So yeah, that is a serious concern.
Does that mean keeping them in their neighborhood, or keeping them together and busing them all together outside of the historical neighborhood?
It could be keeping them together and busing. You know, just to bring them back for a different middle school.
I think that's a different consideration than what.
I think also as we talk about pairing, especially in the Leopold Perot area, we talk about a possible K-3-4-5 configuration. Sure. So we talk about a possible K-3-4-5 configuration in that pairing. It's pretty obvious, regardless of the distance you are from Perot or this building, if you're not in the right grade block, you're going to be going to the other school. So that's a little contradictory to some of our principles, and that's something that we're working through.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
can I just ask, what is the advantage of hearing of parent schools from a, you know, just when the research showing moving kids from school to middle school, and how that is good and how that's bad?
Most of the pairing has been done to balance economic levels, and there hasn't been much research that says it's bad, and some researchers like primary grades together, and so you can find research that will say that, especially if you added four-year-olds in there as well, that having 4 through 8 year olds together in primary grades is a good thing. And then upper grades. There's also research that would say the fewer transitions you have, the better it is for kids. So probably we can find research on both sides of most every issue. I want to also just point out that you can find out the percentage of kids that are bused by just going to the website, and it shows by school what kids are bused.
I'm going to ask one quick question first. How many people here this evening would like to do public speaking? I'm just trying to figure out how best to. We'd prefer to continue with questions and answers for a few more minutes before we get into public speaking. Is this helpful for you?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we do this for a few more minutes, and then we'll have time for the people who want to public speak. 1 minute straight.
Yeah, so when I was trying to follow all the different options, I'm one of those selective people that's in the new development. I'm just trying to understand. I have a there is no way that my job will come here to Leopold unless we would pair with Thoreau. Is that pretty much true?
One of the options has all Leopold students staying in their boundaries, which is one of the ideas. So, no, we can't assume that.
Okay, but wouldn't you be well over 650 students at that point?
You are, yeah.
But again, this involves redrawing boundaries of a number of schools.
And it may be, it depends on what areas get shifted. I mean, maybe all of Fitchburg will go to Leopold, and all of around Leopold will go to Thoreau. That's a joke.
it's not a
joke.
Could you give me some idea about the reasoning you used to choose Leopold and Thoreau as parent schools, as compared to other of the West Side elementary schools?
I think there's one actually that pairs with Lincoln as well. So we talked about that. One of the reasons is proximity. If, again, it's bus rides, trying to keep students on a bus less than 45 minutes. And one of the things that we looked at, if we move students from the west attendance area, which is essentially this area, to the east attendance area, probably the fastest route is over Don Nolan Drive in the morning when you're thinking of rush hour. Moving kids through the isthmus might be more difficult. But when we're thinking about Leopold Thoreau, it's proximity. Right now, Midvale Lincolns are quite a distance apart. And those students are bused up the Beltline and down the Dale Boulevard.
Can I just make one comment?
Okay.
One thing to think about, too, is these ideas are just not even 1 week old. I mean, literally, a week ago, none of this was on paper. There was no idea about Thoreau and Leopold pairing. So there is not a lot of thought process behind a lot of these things yet. I mean, really, there is not. And there has the task force just got these ideas on Thursday night, and there has not been another meeting since then. So there hasn't been a lot of discussion about a lot of these things that will be coming. And that's why we're getting your input now before it comes, so you can have your input as part of the discussion.
I would like to know what the Rose building capacity is, Leopold's building capacity, Hoyt's building capacity, because that's not here. And I'm just curious, because my understanding is that if you put the Rose population together with Leopold's population, you have more children than both schools could handle. So obviously, pairing them wouldn't be a solution in itself. It would also be with moving students, right?
Correct.
So how many students would have to move if we paired Leopold and Thoreau?
The capacity of Leopold is 655. The capacity of Thoreau is 432, so that's 1,087. The capacity. Currently, Leopold has 678 and Thoreau has 411, so that is 1089. If it were converted back, it would be about 230 students, which if you look at what one of our recommendations was, it would be opening a school to be pretty inefficient. One of the things that we absolutely have to keep on the table, and that we all hate, is money is an issue for us. And so we want to run our schools most efficiently. If we have a school of 230, you still have to have a principal, a custodian, a librarian, a secretary, and it really becomes a very inefficient from a cost standpoint when you have little schools like that.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's ever a possibility that Madison will go to school in Fitchburg. I mean, I know right now the city planners say that they're not lotted, they're not set up to have a terrible, and it's going to be huge.
Fitchburg's
enormous, not, you know, small, like some of the communities around it.
Two thoughts to that. Yes, that possibility always exists. One of the things that is true about Fitchburg is students go to three different school districts. They go to Madison, Oregon, and Corona. And some of the areas that are being developed are really not in the Madison Metropolitan School District. In 1987, it was determined where every parcel of land was assigned to a school district. And any time, and they are not coterminous with the city boundaries. So if an area, if a certain area was going to be moved into Madison and Pop School District but out of Oregon, that has to be a negotiation between those two school districts. So it may or may not be in the city of Madison. Right now, most of the development that's occurring in Fitchburg is in either Oregon or in Corona.
Are those the boundaries then for Fitchburg?
These are the Madison-Metcalfe School District boundaries.
And the equivalent of the red one that's out there, that's the maximum, or is that the maximum that we'll grow
right,
in Fitchburg?
Right, this is Madison-Metcalfe School District boundaries.
But is the purple area the maximum?
The only thing that's in Fitchburg, that would be Madison Schools, that's not on here is
Navarre.
And this is represented on here.
So that's it.
That's it.
I was wondering if the possibility of repairing was thought about, maybe pairing Leopold and Lincoln and Thoreau and Midvale. Thinking about this after the discussion of the rush hour traffic, since these schools are geographically looking closer on the map.
She was asking if it looked at unpairing or repairing the Leopold and Lincoln, Thoreau and Midvale, closer geographically in traffic paths.
And also, one thing I did put on these fresh ideas, I realized they're fresh ideas, but I was really stunned to see that basically Thoreau would lose all of its population except for our little community of Nacoma. And so I just wanted to throw that out as an answer to the question.
When we're going to move for a minute to public speaking, and on the agenda, tonight on the back of the agenda, there's ways to get more information. There's also some email addresses. If you come up with ideas, just like what this person just spoke of, have you considered this? Would you consider that? You may not know if it works or not, but we won't know until you go back and look at the district's magic map that actually can move kids and recalculate numbers. But if you do have ideas that you want the task force to look at, let people know, let your PTO people know, let your task force members know, let your principals know, and they can talk with us, and we'd be happy to look at anything. There's no preconceived notion here on how this is going to work. I wish we did have answers. It would certainly be a lot easier. So what you're things that you're thinking right now as you sit there may turn out to be the answer. So you just have to, you know, share that with us. And we'd like to take a few minutes to hear from people that would like to speak. And again, we want to do 2-minute public speaking just so we can hear from more people. And then you can follow it up with, if you have questions on what you say, that can be addressed to anyone. We have a minute for questions.
Yeah, we'd like to hear. Leopold was going into several different schools, but it was also bypassing a couple schools when you gave one of the options to Lapham Marquette. The Eastside schools have low enrollment. They're under capacity. What about Franklin going to Lapham or Marquette? Because that's already almost on the way there, and maybe Leopold going into Franklin. It just seems like you're bypassing the school and you're putting these kids on an even longer bus ride and missing a school that's on the way. And I just see some more, like,
that's a very valid thought. And I don't know if it's been looked at or if it's something.
Well, there are two areas that we have. Probably the one that's being looked at mostly to go over to Lapham Marquette is the cross John Nolan. That is actually the fastest way to get to Lapham Marquette.
What about some of those kids? Are Randall
that's
going across
the plan
already on
that.
The isthmus, and then some of these kids going into Randall, where it's not this huge long stream where these kids are taken, you know, from one area of town and really set down in a different area of town. This is a whole city shift. I mean, money is an object. You've got buildings over there that aren't being used.
And to tie in with your comment, there is going to be a joint meeting between the West Memorial Task Force and the East Side Task Force. And the East Side Task Force is charged with looking at underutilized space. So the two shall meet as the options are formed to see if things like that can be done that would best address the needs of both sides of the city, because you're absolutely right. This is one school district.
And one last comment. How many more plots are there in the Leopold area that haven't been built on? You said there's a finite number. Is it 100? Is it 500? I mean, in the Memorial area, there's 13,000 home sites.
Right now, it looks like Swan Creek, we anticipate about 68 more students from that area. Oak Meadow, I think it's about 32. I don't have my numbers right in front of me. And then when McGaw ever gets platted, that will generate some other kids.
So right now,
that's
about 100.
About it. And everything we look
at. They have to go somewhere.
Right.
Platted and they're coming.
Right. You're right. Yes, sir.
I don't have a public speech to make, but I just want to comment that I downloaded some of the low-income data for the various schools on the west side, and I found that actually Leopold and Thoreau have about 50% low-income students, so it's about evenly balanced between low-income and other income. And I like that personally, and I would like to promote that in any way I can. Now, perhaps like 40% is a better level, so be it. Actually, Midvale Lincoln has like 65% low-income students. And I'd just like to call your attention to actually Van Nuys, which has 18%, and also Crestwood, which has 22% low-income, both with fairly small student population, which would make a very nice a combination to solve the Leopold problem of too many students. By the way, Leopold has a very nice balance all along.
Thank you. And when you look at some of the working ideas of the task force, as I said, they extend beyond the Thoreau and Leopold. And people have been, you know, people have commented on Van Nuys, people have commented on Crestwood, people have commented on Falk being too high. I think it's 55% low income. And are looking at ways, either boundaries or pairing, even in the Memorial, you know, School District, for dealing with just the issues that you did point out.
That also spills into Hamilton, which also has a difficulty with not having a very high percentage of low-income students. So that would possibly solve the Hamilton, I won't call it problem, but whatever that is.
Stemming off of your question, probably for you, Mary, is how I thought it's still set to be divided between 3, 4, 5 different schools. Or can Thoreau give up the Allied Ride population and help increase it at Crestwood and balance it with Stevens and try to pull back from Chavez? Because I know Allied Drive is dispersed in many, many different places.
Right. And that, actually, I think all of the plans, right now, Allied Drive can be assigned to Stevens, Crestwood, Chavez, or Thoreau, the students who live on Allied Drive. That enrollment or numbers of students living there is decreasing. But in, I think, every one of our ideas, the students are going to the memorial attendance area. And one of the reasons is that we want to bring back the Ridgewood apartments to the west attendance area. So, and trying to balance those two areas. And we've heard from the kids on Allied Drive that they would like to be all in the same high school attendance area, because when they are split among three schools, they may end up, some kids going through Cherokee West, other kids going Stevens, Crestwood, Chavez, and then to either Jefferson or Tokay, and then on to Memorial. So it gets very confusing.
And personally, I hear from the kids that live on Allied Drive that there are kids that underneath them in the same complex, the duplex, that go to different schools. And I think that's a shame that it, number one, for them, but also it can probably relieve some of the crunching here, too. To try to not divide those kids in so many places.
Yes. First of all, I wanted to thank everybody for, I think, a very informative presentation. I think it's really given me a lot of background on the things that are going into making these decisions. And I think I would agree with the group, certainly, that the pre-consideration being chosen is the most important of the seven that are out there. I'm a Thoreau parent, and I think I would say that for a number of reasons I'm concerned about the proposals to pair Thoreau and Leopold. Nothing against Leopold, but from a Thoreau perspective, that would appear to violate several of those considerations. And that may not be a 45-minute bus ride. I think we should say that factor could also be interpreted to minimize bus rides. That saves costs. It also means that, following up on a previous comment, that kids were within easy walking distance of the school, stay within easy walking distance at school all the way through fifth grade. They don't get tickets to walk all the way elsewhere. And I just don't see that pairing as doing anything to achieve socioeconomic balance like some of the other pairings. So that would be a concern. From that perspective, the proposal that would move limited neighborhoods, say, into Thoreau, or somewhere else, would have a lot more appeal rather than that wholesale change. And then I also think it's important to keep in mind that low-income factor, and echoing the comments of the gentleman over there. We've seen proposals in the past that take in middle-income neighborhoods out of Thoreau and move them to schools that have a lower population, lower percentage, much lower from low-income people. Like, there's a neighborhood immediately west of Midvale, it's a stone throw to Cherokee, and that's been proposed several times, to move to schools with much lower low-income populations. And those types of proposals don't seem to make sense. So I guess we would say we'd like to keep those neighborhoods, the middle-income neighborhoods that are proximate to Thoreau, in the Thoreau area, and the wholesale pairing of Thoreau with another school doesn't seem to match up with those three criteria that we've cited as the most important.
Thank you. Okay, I think we have time for one more.
Thank you for all the work that you're doing. And I know a lot's being thrown at you this evening, and I hope you take my I hope you take my comments in the spirit of helping you with your task. And from a high level, suggestions. Number one, you should be clear about your audience. Yes, it's the Board of Education, but given that you're likely to have a referendum, ultimately, your audience, arguably, the City of Madison. Number two, that you consider your timeline. It's not just 5 years. The board said at least 5 years. And I would think, especially with some of these areas, to try to think about how much more population you might have. That will affect you. Also, some of your changes don't have to go in right away if you don't have an issue for 2 or 3 years down the line. Number three, try to quantify your goals where you can. Low income. Maybe you can put a figure on it. The average is 38% for the West area. What's the highest that you want to see in any particular school? Try to put a number on that. The most important number I think you need to look at is capacity percent. If the school has a capacity of 400, 400 students is 100%. What is your goal? What is the target? Is it 95%? Is it 98%? And then what's the highest that you're willing to go? And what's the lowest that's reasonable to go? Then when you're done with all this, try to quantify it in a cost terms. You want to come up with a really cost-effective, not the least cost, but cost-effective. The two are not necessarily the same. And then, when you have your options, I would try to have three options that represent a real broad spectrum, because ultimately, this is going to go to the people of Madison. And they might look like, one is a boundary changes, where you keep your costs to a minimum. A second, at the other side, is you're looking at one or two new schools that need to be added. And that may make a lot of sense, particularly in these areas. And the third option might be something in between. And then finally, if you can, I would recommend that you take a vote at the end of all of that on your three options. And if one emerges as the true head, let the board know that. And I will make a bet with you this evening. If you have one option that emerges as a clear leader, not only will it pass the board, it will pass the city of Madison. And if you don't, it's going to be a long battle. Thank you.
A couple of things in closing. Carol, did you want to make any comments?
Just to reiterate some things. The board will make the final decision, and this gentleman is correct. The more support an option has in the task force, the more likely it is that the board will adopt it. But let me also be sure that when the options come to the board, the board will hold its own hearings, and there will be a chance to talk with us about them as we look at things. What I hear from all of you are all of the things we always hear from people about how, about the decisions you've made in terms of where your houses are, where your family and where your neighbors are and friends. And if I had my way, we wouldn't change a thing. But we can't say that. We're going to have to move somebody. And each one of you is as important as everyone else. And so we may be making changes that, for the long-term interest of the district, require you or your friends or your kid's best friend to move. Or we may choose, I'm not making assumptions. The task force may decide to come back with proposals to build. Even when you build a new school, you have to create an attendance for it. And when Chavez was built, it was difficult to do that. Because everybody agreed we needed a new school, but nobody wanted to leave their old one. Question on parent. I live in the Marquette neighborhood. I was involved as a parent when we opened Lapham and paired Marquette and Lapham. That was done for space purposes. It was a long, hard debate in the community. If you tried to pull those two pairs, those two schools apart today, you'd be exiled to Minnesota. People are so enthusiastic, but it didn't start out that way. So you need to think about all of these things. And remember that people who are working on the task force are working hard. They're trying to take into account all of the things that you want them to take into account. And ultimately, if you get angry, it's the board that one needs to focus on.
Now remember, as Mary said earlier, there's a public forum going to be held at Cherokee Middle School on December 1st at 6:30. It is for everyone. All the school seating is in the Cherokee attendance area. This is
going to be run by the district. And as Mary said, we're going to have some more concrete information by that point in time, December 1st. We probably will not be having PTO meetings before December 1st, so it may be the next formal meeting to get more information. So again, if you want more information, talk to the people that are involved in the task force. We're going to be meeting quite regularly between now and then. Talk to your principals. Get out and talk to your neighbors. We want as much feedback as possible. So fill out those cards, send us emails, give us a call, because the time is getting short, and we do want to represent you the best way we can. So please communicate. That's what we ask. And again, we are here to represent you. So let us know what you're feeling.
Can we give a round of applause?